Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I recently read a story that told about seven of the wealthiest, most powerful men in the world who gathered together at a hotel on the beach in Chicago. Now, this story happened 1923, so it's about 100 years ago. So the names didn't really recognize. The only one that sounded familiar was Charles Schwab, but he was not the investment guy. He was the president of the largest steel corporation in the world at that point in time. The other six included the world's largest wheat speculator, president of the New York Stock Exchange, one member of the president's cabinet, a very large Wall Street investor, future director of the World Bank, and president of the world's largest monopoly. Story went on to talk about their fate in the next decade or two. Charles Schwab died in debt. Another one of them died overseas in obscurity. One was not only insolvent, but a prisoner in Sing Sing. Another one had been a prisoner but had been released so that he could die at home. And the other three, all three of them committed suicide. Story ended with the line, "All these men learned how to make money, but not one of them learned how to live." Similar that story is to the one that Jesus tells in our gospel lesson today. The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." He said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." What prompts the telling of this story, we are told, is that someone in the crowd came up to Jesus and said, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, the Old Testament tells us that it's a responsibility of the scribes to define those things, to explain things like that. Luke, with his Gentile audience, generally does not use the word scribe, though he uses the word lawyers, because they were the experts in God's law. We can tell by this person asking Jesus this question that the crowd viewed Jesus as an expert of the law, an expert of the scriptures. But Jesus' response to the question is interesting. He basically says, "That's not my purpose for being here." And then he goes on to say, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." As I hear Jesus say this, I hear echoing in the background his words from John 10:10, where Jesus says, "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." That's why Jesus came, that we might have the abundant life. But we are to take note that life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. I hear these words and I tremble a little bit. My knees start to shake and my stomach gets a little queasy. Because we live in a country, in a time of incredible wealth and convenience. I know we're complaining about inflation these days, and I don't like to see those mega millions going to athletes and all these new billionaires coming on the scene, one in Chicago or Illinois nowadays. But you know, the per capita income last year in our nation was $68,000, while worldwide it was under $18,000. 25% of what ours is. Our poverty guidelines say that if you make less than $13,000, you're living in poverty, and that somewhere between 11 and 12% of our nation lives in poverty. But that means that somewhere between 80 and 90% of America has an income that is above the average for the rest of the world. Now, I'm not saying that poverty is not a problem. There certainly are poor in our midst. But I am saying that by and large, we are a people of wealth who live with great convenience. And thus, we must look very closely at our Lord's concluding statement today. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What does Jesus call such a person? Such a person who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God? Fool. If someone, you or I, are concerned only about our bodies and our pleasures and not about our whole self, if we're only looking at our bodily needs and desires and not looking at our relationship with God, we are fools. Oh my, how many ways I see us teetering on the brink. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm all for convenience. And I'm not saying that I've got too much money. My concern is that we must be focused upon those last four words. Not rich toward God. Consider for a moment two components that are helpful in making someone financially well off. Working hard, might say effort, and investment, or you might say time. Have you ever considered how important both of those time and effort are in becoming rich toward God? Before we go on, remember again what Jesus calls someone who's not rich toward God. You got it. Fool. So the question is, are you and I, are we investing time and effort in our relationship with Him, or are we content to have Jesus calling us fools? A little later today in our service, we're going to be reading from Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to take you just a little bit beyond that verse, still in that chapter, to some later verses where we are told, provided I can find it, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. These verses describe what being rich toward God is all about. It's allowing that attitude uplifting, care-generating, peace-building power of the gospel to be at work in us through the investment of time and effort with God's Word. This week one day, I was standing in line at the checkout counter at a dollar store. And in front of me was an older lady. I say older, she was 10 or 15 years older than me. Her bill was $9.05. She handed the cashier a $10 bill and said, "I think I've got a nickel in my coin purse." And after a little bit, she said, "Oh, no, there's just 3 pennies here. That won't help you at all." The clerk reached into his own pocket, pulled out a nickel, put it in the cash register, gave the lady $1 in change. As I'm watching this, I'm thinking, wow, the world would be a better place if every single person functioned like that. Then I thought to myself, I better not be satisfied. If I'm thinking that, I better not be satisfied with just him doing it. So when I checked out, I think I had a nickel or a quarter or something as change, and I said to him, "You put that back in your pocket for the next little old lady who comes along." Smile on his face, you could see that he was acknowledging that I had seen his generosity, and he agreed the world would be a better place if more people functioned like that. Of course, it's not all about money. At the same time, quite often, money is a part of it. The man in today's parable that Jesus told, he thought he could compartmentalize his life, making his soul to consist of just a limited part of his being, his life. The 7 men, in the story that I told at the beginning, had very similar ideas and attitudes. And you heard where it got them. I wonder about the man in the crowd at the beginning of our gospel lesson, the one who says to Jesus, "Master," or "Teacher," I guess, "Teacher, make my brother share my inheritance with me." Sounds to me like he was pretty upset with his brother when I read that. How many families do you know who have been similarly divided? Sometimes it's because of greed. Other times it's impatience. Maybe some ill-spoken words. Politics. The bottom line, you know, is sin, right? Because sin is what divides and separates us from one another and from our God. You and I, we have been born again in the waters of our baptism. We have been raised with Christ to walk in the newness of life with Him. Thus, we are urged by God in what we will read from Colossians in a few minutes. If you have then been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. In other words, Christ is saying to you and me today, allow me to make you rich in a whole new way, in a holistic way. Allow me to show you where a little time and a little effort will produce rich results in your life. Allow me to guide you into a whole new investment plan that will make you rich toward me. And then see how you will be able to say in a whole new way, it is well. It is well with my soul. And then to realize that there is no change in the economy. There is no change in your employment or your status in the world. There is no change in the world whatsoever, even death, that can take away the eternal wealth that you have been given by Christ Jesus our Lord. To him be the glory this day and forever. Amen. And may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds right there with Christ Jesus, rich toward him this day and forever. Amen. Not quite used to seeing people walk out at the end of a sermon, but I think they're going to see.